There was an interesting story earlier this month that definitely made my eyebrows shoot right up to the sky. If they could leave my face, they would. So here in Connecticut, it's pretty common that courts will order both violent and non-violent offenders to put on those ankle bracelets, the ankle monitors, while they're out on bond or on probation. And I learned that we have this team of experts, apparently, called the I-Team, and they were kind of collecting data from the state's judicial branch starting in January of 2021 until the end of 2023. So they looked at those calendar years, and what they found was kind of scary. According to reports, the state received around 990 tamper alerts, which means that something went wrong with those ankle monitors. Now, tamper alerts, it doesn't mean that someone necessarily was trying to break the bracelet off, right? I mean, it could be a number of different things. However, it was proven that dozens of those true tampers where an offender was successfully able to remove that bracelet were done on purpose, not accidental. And right now we have 1,700 offenders on some form of electric monitoring in the state. And so it begs the question, how often does this happen, and are we doing enough to make sure that we are monitoring people who are, again, out on bond or on probation? So why is this the best person to talk to? Well, Senator Paul Ciccarella is here because he is the ranking senator on the Public Safety and Security Committee, and I would imagine he can really give us some insight into this story and many others. Senator Ciccarella, welcome back to WICC. Thank you for your time. How are you?
I'm well, and good morning, and thank you for having me on, Melissa.
Thank you for being here. And, I mean, am I wrong in saying that when you hear about close to 1,000 of these tamper alerts going off in 2 years, we shouldn't, you know, jump the gun and just believe, okay, these were done on purpose? But I do think it is cause for concern for the average Connecticut resident to say, are these faulty systems? Should we be doing something better when it comes to monitoring people who are out on bond or on probation?
Yeah, I do think that it's definitely a cause for alarm. And not just because of these tamper alerts. I mean, we have to look at the whole system. You know, why are these individuals even out on bond? Pre-trial, prior to being sentenced, committing a violent crime, and being released the streets with a monitor on. And there's two different types of monitors. There's a monitor which would let you know, let the probation officer know, or the parole officer, if they are in a certain area that they're supposed to be. So they would say, you know, you have to be around your house. And they would have a device that stays at the home, and they'd have the ankle monitor on. And if they leave or don't come back in enough time, the probation officer could look at a report and then say, okay, hey, you weren't here, and then they could bring them in and have a conversation. There's other ones that are GPS, and it's real-time monitoring. They know where they are at all times. But there aren't that many GPS monitors out there. There's a lot more of just ankle monitors, which lets somebody know if they were at home early enough before their curfew or vice versa. But the real issue is, why are they being let out? And how many times are they getting caught while being out, awaiting to be having their case heard, mm-hmm. and they'll get rearrested and let back out on some type of a monitoring prior to having their case heard?
So if I'm understanding you correctly, Senator Ciccarella, your bigger concern is not so much if the ankle monitoring is sufficient enough. It's why are we even going to the extreme of, okay, let's just let them go out and wear this monitor until they have to come back into court. That's your bigger concern, is why are we even giving sort of that leeway, that flexibility at all? They should be just doing time.
Well, no. If somebody committed a nonviolent crime, I think that this program could work. I think this pre-release prior to their sentencing or having their case heard, that this does make sense. But when you have violent criminals being let back out, committing crimes while out on bond, and then getting let out on bond again over and over again, that's a problem. And that's what I'm hearing. And that's why we proposed a bill that says we want to see that data and hear these stories with facts, right? It's easy for someone to tell us something, but we want to have the judicial branch show us all the information of who is out on bond and what crimes they committed, how much money was their bond to get out, and if they reoffended while out. That's what we really need to see to make some real, you know, decisions on how to handle this, because we are hearing over and over again when we're catching individuals for violent crimes or the ones who actually cut off their ankle monitor, they were out on bond for a violent crime and catching more cases while out on bond.
Yeah, and actually,
we know it's happening.
Yeah,
we don't know how much.
Senator Paul Ciccarella is here, the ranking senator on the Public Safety and Security Committee, and we were talking about some new data that was highlighted in a report recently looking at GPS ankle monitors for suspects who are out on bond or on probation. And after looking at the data, the I-team reported that Connecticut received close to 1,000 tamper alerts. And with a lot of those alerts, yes, they could be accidental, but dozens were because those bracelets were broken off on purpose. And we're not really looking at the small issue of, are the ankle monitors reliable? The bigger issue is, why are we allowing convicted criminals with egregious records to become repeat offenders by just slapping an ankle monitor on them and hoping that they don't break them? And we were just sharing an example of a couple of examples where people lost their lives because we allowed people to just have ankle bracelets on in hopes that they, again, wouldn't commit horrible acts of crime. And so, Senator Ciccarella, I'm curious, after this information became public this month, was there any reaction from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle? And I know we're down to just a week left, but any legislation to really, again, tackle the issue of our criminal justice system and how we are handling especially violent criminals, people to avoid repeat offenders?
That's a great question, Melissa. And, you know, this is something that I've been talking about along with my Republican colleagues for years. And this session, you know, in public safety and in judiciary, we brought forward many ideas that would address these problems. And we didn't just speak to law enforcement or the judicial branch. You know, we spoke to community leaders, victims of crimes, family members that have, you know, juvenile children that are continuously committing these crimes over and over again. And after compiling all of that information and taking everything into consideration, we drafted, you know, bills that would address what we're seeing and hopefully deter this rise in crime. So we've been talking about this. And unfortunately, the other side has not accepted many ideas to come out of these committees to get to the floor so we could debate them on the floor and hopefully make them law. You know, I think that there is a couple of bills that came out that may help, but it's a drop in the bucket when we see how large this problem is. And, you know, how many people are continuing to commit crimes over and over again with very little consequences.
Was there a shift? I don't know when exactly this information came out. I know this was 2 years of data they had been collecting, but it sounds like they only presented this month. So was there any kind of a shift in, whoa, you know, we're running out of time to maybe really hone in on some solid legislation for this session, but we definitely need to make this more of a priority the next session? I mean, did we hear some more collaboration talks from both sides? I think that when you've got concrete data now, we're not, you know, because oftentimes, and you could certainly speak to this, Senator Ciccarella, but, you know, you hear all the time that Connecticut's one of the safest states in the country, right? That's all we hear about. Crime is going down. Safest state in the country. Fine. But I live in this state. I don't care what's going on in other states. Not that I don't care, but I want to know, for me, my family, you know, my friends, I want to know that I am safe every day and that we're doing everything we can to make our state the best that it can be. And when we ignore numbers like we just shared from I-Team, this is, again, a non-political entity that is just collecting data and is proving that we've got a flaw in the system, but that we also are just allowing people who have proven that they should not just be out and about with an ankle monitor, hoping to God that they don't cut it off themselves. these are concrete numbers that politics should not even get in the way of this. This should, to me, say, while we are one of the safest states in the country, this is not acceptable. Was there any reaction to this recently shared information?
So when Sam, the reporter, the investigative journalist who brought this story to light, interviewed me, I guess they looked for comments, and there was no comment from the other side. And I guess they couldn't find anyone in the building that day to talk about this. So I don't know what that says. But I do know that there was an idea, and this was floated well before this report came out. It was looking at our whole system, our whole bond system. And basically, the solution to this is being able to keep serious, violent criminals incarcerated without bond. And right now, someone is entitled to bond. Pretty much everyone that commits a crime is entitled to a bond, and the courts have the ability to set that bond. And when somebody commits a heinous crime, the bond is set, you know, $10 million, $5 million, et cetera. There was a proposal to say that they wanted to reopen this bond system, bail system, and be able to address these very serious and violent criminals. And it would allow the judge to say, you can't have bond, because it's in our Connecticut Constitution that they have the right to bond. The problem is, what they're trying to do is basically not have any bonds for small crimes. So like California or Jersey, where you go steal something, you're not going to go to jail. And that's also not going to solve this problem.
No.
So I hope it's a complicated issue, and I know that we only have a little bit of time, but I was trying to explain it. But to simplify what I was saying is, their solution is let's revisit our bond system, and we could give the judge the ability to hold somebody without bond. But we see that the judges, unfortunately, are not enforcing the laws that we have on the books now. So my concern is, even if we did want to really address these very violent criminals, this is only going to allow the judge to do it. It doesn't mean that the judge is going to do it.
Right.
We see judges not enforcing the penalties that we have on the books. How do we know that's going to happen? And then there'll be a you know, unintended consequence where we're going to end up having more small crimes that will lead to bigger crimes, and there will be zero consequences. You can walk into the store, steal $1,000 worth of stuff, get caught, and get let back out with no process but a PTA. That's a problem.
That's just wild. Exactly. Because what could start out as an ant, you know, like a little ant hill, can turn into a mountain before you know it. Yeah, that certainly speaks to a really big issue, and could be an even bigger issue, certainly, if we don't continue to address it and look at even just our criminal justice system and why even our judges, if you're saying, are just not even putting into place what we already have on the books. That's concerning. That's incredibly concerning. I don't know if the general public here in Connecticut realizes that. That's wild.
You know, it's alarming. Last year, you know, we wanted to deal with this juvenile crime, the rise in juvenile crime.
Sure, yeah.
These kids stealing vehicles. We passed a juvenile justice bill. And basically it would say if you got caught your second time stealing a vehicle, second time, you'd have to go in front of a judge and then hopefully get some corrective action, you know, counseling, you'd be monitored, et cetera. We passed that law. There was a practice book change in the rule book that the judges and the courts would use. And it took away certain crimes that would mandate a juvenile to go in front of a judge. One of those crimes was car theft, Grand Theft Auto.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
And I've talked to juvenile probation officers that have six arrests for one juvenile. Now, someone under the age of 18 caught six times. I'm sure they probably robbed more cars, or they're just very bad at what they're doing. But they were caught six times, and because of that practice book change, they have not been in front of a judge.
That's insane.
Six
I mean,
times.
That's just terrible. I think I don't know. I don't mean to laugh, but that is literally insane. I just think it's interesting that we have officials who will tell parents how bad they are at holding their kids accountable for when they lie or they don't eat their dinner or they don't go to school on time. Like, we're screaming at parents for absenteeism. But in the meantime, we've got judges who are not going to do anything. We're not doing anything besides a, hey, don't do that. You shouldn't steal cars to 14 and 15 year olds. Give me a break. That's ridiculous.
Literally
insane.
Literally what would happen is they get asked a risk screener. And they answer the questions correctly, and by now they all know what to say.
Right,
and they
exactly.
get asked these questions, and they get referred to a juvenile review board. If the town or municipality that the child got arrested in doesn't have a juvenile review board, or their town, they don't have a juvenile review board, they're given a referral to a counselor with no follow-up.
Oh, fantastic. We love that. We love accountability, or lack of that, rather. Senator Ciccarella, I apologize because I really wanted to dive into more, but this was really, to me, such a fascinating story. And I don't know what could happen in the next week, but I definitely want to stay on this story even after the session wraps up, because it is something that clearly, if we're not going to see legislative, I guess, massive action or change happen in Connecticut, maybe we need more uproar from people who live here in the state and are saying enough is enough. So we definitely want to continue this conversation, and I look forward to having you back on really soon.
Absolutely. And we will continue to run some amendments in the short time that we have to try to address these problems. So hopefully they take some of these recommendations and amendments to the bills that we have out there. And thank you very much for bringing this forward and having your listeners, you know, hear the facts about what's going on.
Thank Absolutely. You. Yeah, you're welcome. And keep us posted, Senator Ciccarella, who, again, is the ranking senator on the Public Safety and Security Committee here on WICC.